Okay, as I've always been told you before, I'm your prosperity teacher. But there are all sorts of areas of prosperity. Prosperity is not just finances. Prosperity is, to prosper is to succeed in everything that we do. I'm going to read 3 John 2. Beloved, I pray that you may prosper in all things and be in health just as your soul prospers. The Amplified says, Beloved, I pray that you may prosper in every way and that your body may keep well, even as I know your soul keeps well and prospers. Prosperity means more than money. Prosperity covers the entire spectrum of life, spirit, soul, body, financially and politically. Prosperity is the Hebrew word shalom, which means safe and secure, complete. It also covers divine protection and being fear-free. And 1 John 5:18 says, We know that whatsoever is born of God sinneth not, but he that is begotten of God keepeth himself, and that wicked one toucheth him not. As we go through the things I'm going to teach you today, you will become what's known as the untouchables. And that's what we need to be in this life that we're living in now. You know, in Noah's time, things were pretty bad in Noah's time also. As they, kind of like they are now. And in Genesis 3, 13-14, God said to Noah, The end of all flesh has come before me, for the earth is filled with violence through them, and behold, I will destroy them and with them with the earth. Make yourself an ark of gopher wood, making rooms in the ark, and cover it inside and outside with pitch. And then Genesis 11 and 12 from the Amplified, it says, The earth was depraved and putrid in God's sight, and the land was filled with violence, discretion, infringement, outrage, assault, and lust for power. And God looked upon the world and said how the degenerate, debased, and vicious it was, for all humanity had corrupted their way upon the earth and lost their direction. Kind of sounds like our kind of world today. The world we're living in now. Because we have all sorts of terrible things happening in our world. Drive-by shootings. Shootings in schools, malls, and anywhere else people gather. Even outside concerts and everything, where a guy sat there and shot at 150-something people. These type of things happen in our life, and we hear about them all the time in the news. But where are we going to go to get our protection when in these troubled times? I tell you, we better take a lesson from Noah. In the ark, God provided protection for the destruction to come. It was to keep Noah safe while the whole world perished around him. I believe God is saying the same thing to us today. To build an ark made of the Word of God.
The Word of God, amen.
Do you realize what you know from the Word of God will save your life? If you build God's protection, promise of protection and deliverance into your life, and you can live in this crazy world without all its dangers and feel secure. God has proven that He has a wonderful ability to deliver the people from danger. Notice I said His people. In Noah's time it was God's people and the rest of the world. There is the family of Satan and the family of God. God provided salvation. John 3:16, For God so loved the world, He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever should believe on Him shall have everlasting life. Let's read that again, make sure I got it right. I think I did. Let's get it right. Uh, For God so loved the world, He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. It's one of the most memorable verses there. Most everybody knows that, whether they're saved or not. Until we accept Him, the world group won't enjoy the benefits that God's people have. God is to us a God of deliverance and salvation, and to God the Lord belongs escape from death, setting us free. Psalm 18:19-20. He also brought me out into a broad place. He delivered me because He delighted in me. The Lord rewarded me according to my righteousness, according to the cleanliness of my hands. He has recompensed me. Every day God loads us with benefits of salvation. He loads us with forgiveness, healing, safety, security, prosperity, and deliverance from danger. These benefits are not automatic. They are manifested as you put your trust in God by faith. Until you find out what actually belongs to you through the blood of Jesus, you can't lay hold of the faithful faith and see it happen in your life. Faith comes by hearing the Word of God. You can have faith for something. You can't have faith for something you don't know about. What we're going to study today is the 91st Psalm. I'm going to read it to you from the King James Version. I'm going to read it to you from the Amplified. He that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. I'll say the Lord, He is my refuge and my fortress, my God, in Him I will trust. Surely He should deliver thee from the snare of the fowler, from the noise of pestilence. He shall cover thee with His feathers, and under His wings you shall take refuge. Under His wings I shall trust. His truth shall be your shield and buckler. I shall not be afraid of the terror by night, nor the arrow that flieth by day, nor the pestilence that walks in darkness, nor the destruction lays waste at noonday. 1,000 may fall at your side, and 10,000 at your right hand, but it shall not come nigh thee. Only with your eyes shall you behold and see the reward of the wicked. Because you made the Lord, which is my refuge, even the Most High, thy habitation, there shall no evil befall thee, neither shall any plague come nigh thy dwelling. He shall give His angels charge over thee to keep thee in all thy ways. They shall bear thee up in their hands, lest thou dash thy foot against a stone. Thou shalt tread upon the lion and the adder. The young lion and the dragon shalt thou trample under feet. Because He has set His love upon me, therefore I will deliver him. I will set him on high, because he hath known my name. He shall call upon me, and I will answer him. I will be with him in trouble. I will deliver him and honor him. With long life will I satisfy him and show him my salvation. Amplifies, of course, that's what it does. It amplifies. He who dwells in the secret place of the Most High shall remain stable and fixed under the shadow of the Almighty, whose power no foe can withstand. I'll say the Lord, He is my refuge, my fortress, my God. In Him I will lean and rely, and Him I confidently trust. But then He'll deliver you from the snare of the fowler and from the deadly pestilence. Then He shall cover you with His pinions, and under His wings you shall trust and find refuge. His truth and His faithfulness are a shield and a buckler. You shall not be afraid of the terror by night, nor the evil plots and slanders of the wicked that flies by day, nor the pestilence that walks in darkness, nor the destruction and sudden death that surprise and lay waste at noonday. 1,000 may fall at your side, and 10,000 at your right hand, but it shall not come near you. Only a spectator shall you be, yourself inaccessible, in the secret place of the Most High, as you witness the reward of the wicked. Because you made the Lord your refuge and the Most High your dwelling place, there shall no evil befall you, nor shall any plague come near your tent. which gave his angels a special charge over you, to accompany and defend and preserve you in all the ways of obedience and service. They shall bear you up on their hands lest you dash your foot against a stone. You shall tread upon the lion and the adder, the young lion and the serpent you shall trample underfoot. Because he set his love upon me, therefore I'll deliver him. I'll set him on high, because he knows and understands my name, has personal knowledge of my mercy, love, and kindness, trusts and relies on me, knowing I will never forsake him. No, never. He shall call upon me, and I'll answer him. I'll be with him in trouble. I'll deliver him and honor him. With long life will I satisfy him and show him my salvation. Well, let's go with the first verse again of the ninth verse Psalm. He who dwells in a secret place most high shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. Once you have from God's word that divine protection belongs to you, there are conditions you must keep to activate the protection in your life. The word of God makes these conditions very clear. First condition is found in Psalm 91:1. He who abides in the secret place of the Most High shall remain fixed under the shadow of the Almighty. If you're going to enjoy God's protection, you have to abide in Him. Abide means to dwell in. It implies a permanent dwelling, a place of not temporary situation. It's a place you must make your home a continual dwelling under God's shadow. This doesn't take much to become an abider. It means putting God's word in your heart. John 15:7 in the Amplified. If you live in me and abide vitally united to me, and my words remain in you and continue to live in your heart, ask whatever you will and it shall be done for you. The truth that is alive in your heart is the truth you act on every day. It comes from knowing the word, and so well that it comes to your thinking instantly in a crisis situation. Truth comes alive when you think about it and meditate on it and apply it to your life. At the very moment of danger, the Lord Word of God is your first thought. You need to be consistent in abiding in His Word. Take the Psalm 91, the 91st Psalm, into yourself daily, until it becomes engrafted into your heart. It's a word you act on today that will get you delivered . Keep yourself full of God's word, and you will do it. For every moment you invest in the word of God, you'll get back 100-fold in health, faith, and deliverance. Another definition of abiding is simply obeying. 1 John 3:6. Whosoever abideth in him sinneth not. Those who are not obedient do not abide in him. If you haven't been abiding in God's word, it's going to be difficult for you to call in faith when calamity comes. You know, when a guy breaks into your house, that's not the time you go back to the back room and start lifting weights and all that stuff, trying to build yourself up. And so, hey, I can take care of this guy now. The time to do it is do it before we ever get in that kind of situation. So you need to start abiding in God's word now. If you don't, it'll actually cost you more than you want to pay. Proverbs 1:33 in Amplified. But whoso hearkeneth to me, wisdom, shall dwell securely and confidently in trust, and shall be quiet without fear or dread of evil. Now that's the kind of a supernatural protection promised to those who abide. Now let's go to read the second verse of Psalms 91. I will say to the Lord, He is my refuge and my fortress, my God, in Him I will trust. The person who lives in the protection shadow of the Almighty, he speaks in his faith. This man is doing more than just trusting God with his heart. He is going to say it with his mouth. Faith brings God's supernatural power into natural realm. Faith is released into the natural realm by words. So you need to be saying, God is my refuge, my fortress, I trust in Him. Meditate on the 91st Psalm. So in the time of danger, what comes out of your mouth is not, I'm scared to death, but the Lord is my refuge and He shall deliver me. Get your mouth in line with the Word of God. When you do so, you'll be able to sleep at night. You won't be in worry and fear. Instead, you'll trust with God in every part of your life. Psalms 127:2. It is vain for you to rise up early and to set up late, to eat the bread of sorrows, for He who gives His beloved sleep. So God gives His beloved sleep. You sleep by faith. 91st Psalm, verses 3 through 4. Surely he is delivered from the snare of the fowler, from the perilous pestilence. He shall cover you with his feathers, and under his wings you shall take refuge, and his truth shall be your shield and buckler. When you say until you have that kind of peace on the inside, you can assume that you'll have supernatural protection on the outside. You can be sure God's will deliver you from the snare of the fowler, from the perilous pestilence. What is the snare of the fowler? The traps that are laid by the devil to cause you harm. The Amplified Bible defines pestilence as a plague, malignant and contagious, or infections, epidemic diseases, which are deadly and devastating. Doesn't that sound like AIDS or cancer? The 91st Psalm is always up to date. No matter what threats the devil comes up with, the 91st Psalm promises deliverance from them. Epidemic diseases, nuclear warfare, chemical warfare, all these things are as you read the 91st Psalm closely, you'll see that it covers every one of them. 91st Psalm 5 and 8. You shall not be afraid of the terror by night, nor the air that flies by day, nor the pestilence that walks in darkness, nor the destruction that lays waste at noonday, nor the pestilence that walks in darkness, nor the destruction that lays at noonday. And let's see. 1,000 may fall at your side, and 10,000 at your right hand, but it shall not come near you. Only with your eyes shall you look and see the reward of the wicked. We live in a time where weapons can kill thousands of people at once. Many weapons can destroy entire cities. But despite the magnitude of the disaster, God has promised He can stand in the midst of it. We can stand in the midst of it untouched. When God says, 1,000 may fall at your side, He's talking about a place on earth where we're seeing some disastrous things happen to the wicked all around you. Yet you are totally protected, covered by a visible, invisible shield. You're in a secret place where the world knows nothing about. When you're in that place, it doesn't matter how terrible your situation is. You can make it through safely. Mm-hmm. There was a battalion commander who was getting ready to take over the battalion. I can't remember what country it was that they were having. It may have been Afghanistan. It may have been Iran. But this battalion had all sorts of casualties. And they... He took it over and started teaching every one of the people in that battalion the 91st Psalm. Mm. They had to know it so well that when he walked up to them and said, verse 6, they'd come out and tell him exactly what verse 6 said. Mm. Verse 16, they had to come up and just tell him exactly what it said and what it meant and all that. They went through his entire time that he was in command of that battalion. And they never had one casualty of any kind. And when he called one of the ministries I'm in partnership with, he called this minister and he said, we never had one casualty the whole time I was there. And he found out later as time went on that they were starting to have casualties after he left. Probably because some of them had forgotten the fact that they had needed to do the 91st Psalm. Psalms 91, 9 through 10. Because you made the Lord, who is my refuge, the Most High, your dwelling place, no evil shall befall you, nor shall any plague come near your dwelling. By now you're getting very excited about about God's protection. I need to remind you that you receive the protection is conditional. You have to know what God has saved you before you before the shield and buckler will work for you. You have to hear from God's word and receive it for yourself, saying, "That's mine. Deliverance from God belongs to me." Because you made the Lord, who is your refuge, by obeying verses 1 and 2, you can count on Him to do His part by rescuing you from danger. Verse 3, for he will deliver you. When you think of the 91st Psalm, the first two verses are what you say. Verses 3 through 15 are God's answer and commitment to us.
Wow.
When you do your part, our part, saying and trusting, God does His part, delivering and preserving. Psalms 91, verses 11 through 12. For He's given His angels charge over you to keep you in all your ways. In their hands they should bear you up, lest you dash your foot against a stone. One of the ways God carries out your deliverance is through angels. You really have angels at your service. The Bible teaches that they are sent to serve you and keep you safe as you carry out God's will in your life. Hebrews 1:1-14. For they're not all ministering spirits, and for to minister for those who will inherit salvation. Your angels set up camp around where you are. Wherever you go, they will go with you. Kings 6, 8 through 17. Now the king of Syria was making war against Israel and consulted with his servants, saying, "My camp will be in such and such a place." And the man of God sent to the king of Israel, saying, "Beware that you do not pass this place, for the Syrians are coming down there." Then the king of Israel sent someone to the place of which the man of God had told him. Thus he warned him, and he was watchful there, not just once or twice. Therefore the heart of the king of Assyria was greatly troubled by this thing. And he called his servants and said to them, "Will not you show me which of us is for the king of Israel?" And one of the servants said, "None, my lord, O king, but Elijah the prophet who is in Israel tells the king of Israel the words that you speak in your bedroom." So he said, "Go and see where he is that I may get him. And he told him, saying, "Surely he is in Dothan." So he sent horses and chariots and a great army there. And they came by night and surrounded the city. But the servant of the Lord arose early and went out. There was an army surrounding the city with horses and chariots. And his servant said to him, "Alas, master, what shall we do?" So he answered, "Do not fear, for those who are with us are more than those who are with them." Elijah prayed and said, "Lord, I pray that you open, that he may see." Then the Lord opened the eyes of the young man, and he said, and he saw, and behold, the mountain was full of horses and chariots of fire all around Elijah. Angels hearken to the word. They respond to the word. They put that word into action and protect you. If you are not speaking the word, you have nothing. They have nothing to work with. They have nothing to cause them to get into action. It's the power of the words that cause them to react. In Romans 4:7. As is written, "I made you a father of many nations, in the presence of him whom he believed, God who gives life to the dead and calls those things which do not exist as though they did." That is how God creates. You do the same thing with your words. When you speak God's word in faith, you are opening the door for God's protection and blessings. When you speak words of fear, you're opening the door for the devil to bring you destruction. When you have the word of God alive inside you, you don't have to worry about the unexpected. God is never caught by surprise.
No.
Rebuke fear out of your life in the name of Jesus. Talk to you now about Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Nebuchadnezzar had built a huge idol. It was something like 60 cubits high and about 6 cubits wide. And they had to sit there and bow down to this idol whenever they heard the sound of the flute, the horn, the harp, the lyre, and the psaltery and symphony. Everybody was supposed to bow down and pray to this idol, worship it. Well, these three individuals were Hebrews, so they didn't bow down to the idol like they were supposed to. They did not repay, did not pay regard, pay no regard to the youth. They did not serve the gods or the golden image which you set up. The people told them that they were not doing that. So Nebuchadnezzar got very angry about that. And so what he did is he sat there and fired the furnace up seven times hotter than it normally would be. And they bound Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. And when the men threw the Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego into the fire, it killed the men who threw it in there. It was so hot. So they were thrown bound into the midst of the fire furnace. Then Nebuchadnezzar was astonished. He rose in haste and spoke, saying to his counselors, "Did we not cast three men bound into the midst of the fire?" They answered and said to the king, "True, O king, look, I see four men loose, walking in the midst of the fire, and they are not hurt. And the form of the fourth is like the Son of God." Then Nebuchadnezzar went near the mouth of the burning fiery furnace and spoke, saying, "Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, servants of the Most High God, come out and come here." Then Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego came out in the midst of the fire. And these men on their bodies, the fire had no power. The hair on their heads was not singed, nor even their garments affected. And the smell of smoke was not on them. So they were in that protection. They were in that protection bubble when they were in that fire. God is not limited. He can do whatever it takes to keep you safe, even in the event of nuclear war, chemical warfare, or anything else the devil could comes up with. God can bring you through without a scratch. The only thing that limits God is if you have fear and unbelief in your life. Determined not to believe in God's word. Determined now to believe God's word for your safety and protection. Because you see, what happens is, as I said, the angels react to you speaking the word of God and believing the word of God. Mm-hmm. If you do not do this, the only thing they can do, if you start speaking in fear and doubt and unbelief, all your angel can do is just fold their arms up, and they can't. Or they're unlimited. They can't do anything for you after that. They say, "Well, if that's what he wants, you know, we can't do anything about that." You've got to continue to walk in faith. You should tread upon the lion, the cobra, the lion, young lion, and the serpent you trample underfoot. Let's look at Daniel 6, 16 through 22. 16 through 22, okay. So the king gave command, and they brought Daniel and cast him into the den of lions. But the king spoke, saying to Daniel, "Your God, whom you serve continually, will deliver you." Then the stone was brought out and laid on the den, and the king sealed it with his own signet ring and with the signets of his lords, that the purpose concerning Daniel may not be changed. Now the king went to the palace and spent the night fasting, and no musicians were brought before him, and also his sleep went from him. Then the king arose early in the morning, and went in haste to the den of lions. And he came to the den and cried out with a lamenting voice to Daniel. The king spoke, saying to Daniel, "Daniel, servant of the living God, has your God, whom you serve continually, been able to deliver you from the lions?" Then Daniel said to the king, "O king, live forever. My God sent his angel and shut the lions' mouths, so they have no hurt me, because I was found innocent before him. And also, O king, I have done no wrong before you." Now the king was exceedingly glad, for him and commanded that he should take Daniel out of the den. So Daniel was taken out of the den, and no injury whatever was found on him because he was believing in God. Now you can say, well, you know, maybe the lions just weren't hungry that night. You know, and that's the reason that if you don't believe in this type of situation, well, yeah, maybe they just weren't really, really hungry. Let's read the verse 24. And King gave the command, they brought these men who had accused Daniel, and they cast him into the den of lions, along with their children and their wives. And the lions overpowered them and broke all their bones in pieces before they came to the bottom of the den. So they were hungry, but the angel of God was there to help Daniel.
That's right.
You can trust God with your life. He'll do the same thing he did for Daniel. If you abide in him in faith, trusting, expecting, and confessing his delivering power. If you think the angels only work in the Old Testament, let's look at Acts 12, 5-10. Peter was therefore kept in prison by constant prayer, but constant prayer was offered to God for him, for the church. Now, the reason they were doing this is because James, the brother of John, was killed earlier by the King Herod. So Peter was therefore kept in prison by constant guard, and prayer was offered to him by the church. And when Herod was about to bring him out, that night, Peter was sleeping, bound with two chains between two soldiers, and the guards before the door was keeping the prison. Now behold, an angel of the Lord stood by him, and a light shone in the prison. And he struck Peter on the side and raised him up, saying, "Arise quickly." And his chains fell from his hands. Then the angel said to him, "Gird yourself and tie on your sandals." So he did, and he said to him, "Put on your garment and follow me." So they went out and followed him and did not know that it was done by the angel. What was done by the angel was real, but thought he was seeing a vision. When he had passed the first and second post, they came to the iron gate that leads to the city, which opened to them on its own accord. And they went out and went down in the city, and immediately the angel departed from him. As you start operating in faith, trusting in God to protect and defend you, you will start hearing direction from the Holy Spirit. Like you do not go down to the store you normally go to. It may be a robbery there. You may need to go a completely different way because there may be something going to happen in the same area that you usually go to. Or there may be an accident on the route you usually drive. That thought is impressing in the promises of God in your inner witness. It is the Holy Spirit speaking to your spirit for your protection. What you need to do is make sure you listen to what the Holy Spirit has to say. Because He'll actually keep you from getting into any kind of situation you don't need to get into. You need to be open and ready to change your plans when something comes to you from your spirit that seems good. It just might save your life. You must be sensitive to the still, small voice of the Holy Spirit. It comes when you listen for it in faith with God. It comes when you listen for it in faith, expecting God to guide you. No matter how simple the instructions from God may be, pay attention to it. Be quick to listen. The Holy Spirit's job is to warn you of things to come, to minister grace and favor to you every day. Learn to listen to Him. There is something to learn from Noah. Don't wait until the trouble hits.
That's right.
To start building your ark. You want to have faith. You want to have it finished before your trouble comes. Build it with the 91st Psalm. Build it with the scriptures about your deliverance, abiding in the Almighty and saying with your mouth, I will say to the Lord, He is my refuge, my fortress, my God, in Him I will trust. Because he has set his love upon me, therefore I'll deliver him. I'll set him on high, because he hath known my name. He shall call upon me, and I'll answer him. I'll be with him in trouble. I'll deliver him and honor him. With long life will I satisfy him and show him my salvation. I want to relate to you now one of the situations that I had. I was going down to Wendy's or maybe Chick-fil-A to get a sandwich for the lady that I rent a room from. As I was going down there, I was going about 50 something miles an hour in the section of highway on Garner's Ferry, when suddenly the tie rod support on the driver's side rear snapped. I don't even felt it. I heard it snap, and it threw the car to the right. Well, the only thing I saw on the right was trees. So I just inadvertently turned it and started to go across the median. As I turned to look to the median, it looked like the median was a mile wide. Of course, it's not really that wide. Of course, it just looked that way. And as soon as I turned to the median and applied my brakes, I went out. Everything went black. But when I came to myself, I was about a yard from the opposite lanes, parallel to them, and stopped. Don't know how I got there. Don't know how it happened. But I know the angels of God were taking care of me, because I stood on the 91st Psalm.
Amen.
So that's what we need to do, is be trusting in God to take care of these situations. Do not wait until the flood comes and sweeps you away. Start now meditating on God's word of deliverance. Read it. Get over it. Get over it every day until it's so deeply rooted in your heart that it comes flowing out of the first sign of trouble. Do not be in the dark. Build your ark today. I want to tell you about something else the angels do. And this is something that most people don't know about, because they're not familiar with it. But the angels of God also are the ones who bring to you parts you may need for your body. Parts that are worn out. Parts that may not even be there anymore. There was a case when a guy had, down in Nigeria, he was doing some work, he was a minister in this guy's church, and somebody had shot him in the elbow. So what they did is they sat there and gave him an artificial elbow. What they had to do was they grafted bone around this thing, and then the bone grew around it. But it was never, it didn't really work properly. And it was always painful all the time it was in there. Well, the Lord said to him one time, he said, "You've worked for me." He said, "I'm going to work for you." So that night he went to sleep, never knowing anything was going to happen. He woke up the next morning, that artificial elbow was laying there beside him.
My God.
And he had a brand new elbow.
Glory to God. Hallelujah.
Another guy, he woke up one night, and this guy had his hands in his chest. And the guy said to him, just go back to sleep. Everything's okay. He woke up the next morning, he had a brand new heart. So God has a huge building up there that's full of parts. And all you have to do is believe for them. And the angels of angels of God are the ones who bring them down to you and apply them to your body. So if you have kidneys that need to be replaced, you have teeth you need to be replaced, anything else, you need to believe for them. And the angels of God are the ones who take care of this. So what you need to do is meditate on this, the 91st Psalm. Say it, pray it, and all that over your life, and you will be protected. There was another lady who was out trying to get into her car one night. And these two guys grabbed her. One guy started pulling on her clothes. The other guy had her around her neck. And she said, "Jesus." Mm-hmm. And the guy let go of her. Taking her clothes. She said, "Jesus," the second time. The guy let go of her and they ran off. Well, she finally went down to the police station and identified these two individuals. And when they had a chance to talk to her, they said, "Who are those two burly guys that showed up, you know, and scared us off?" They were her angels that showed up just when she needed them. And they will show up just for you in the same way as you stand in faith on the 91st Psalm.
Amen. I know John put a lot of thought and study in this word today. And I want to thank you for being attentive. You know, you have to be a good student of God's word. Amen.
Amen.
You have to be a good student. I want to thank you for being attentive. And I pray with all my heart that you were really listening to what the Spirit of the Lord was saying today. God wants His people protected. Well, thank you for that overwhelming response. Anybody in here don't want to be protected? God wants His people protected. If anybody tells you that trouble's not coming on this earth, then they are mistaken and they have not read the Word of God. Jesus said in the last days it would be as it was in the days of Noah. Now Noah was a very wicked time. Very wicked. To the point that God said it grieved Him that He ever made man. Now that's a bad day. God is trying to show us today how to live in the protection of God. I know to some of you this is a new teaching. Because you've never really heard it. If you've been to church, you never really heard it taught.
That's right.
But you know, there's a lot of things out there in the world that I haven't tasted yet and experienced. That doesn't mean they're not there.
Right.
There's some dishes in some countries. There's some beverages, good ones. Amen. Non-alcoholic. Amen. Would be my choice. Glory to God. Would be my choice. Hallelujah. I'm so full of the Holy Spirit. I don't need anything, any substance other than the Holy Spirit to stay high on God. Hallelujah. That's just the plain truth. Amen. Okay. So there's a lot of things in life I haven't experienced. Does that make them not there? Or not real? Because I haven't experienced them? No, I just haven't experienced them. God wants us to experience His protection. But you have to abide. He who dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. And he will say of the Lord, He is my strength and He is my refuge. Now as John was ministering, which was just as much of a preach as me getting loud, the anointing of God is just as strong in here on what he did as it is on me right now. The Spirit of the Lord is trying to get a message through to us today. He wants His people protected. But you've got to know you belong to God. You've got to know you belong to God. You've got to know. We've got to make a decision. Let's say we, okay? Let's point it back to me. We've got to know that we are abiding in God. And the first step to abide in God is to make peace, to get where He is. And I can't get to where God is unless I receive the sacrifice of Jesus Christ as my personal Savior. His blood. Amen? First things first. And then we say, well, why do good things, bad things happen to good people? God's such a loving God. You know why? It's because people have not learned how to abide. They have not learned how to train their mouth. Amen? Amen? Now, I'm going to be real with you, okay? Whenever a storm starts trying to come through to South Carolina, now you people might say, well, you're one of those crazy Christians. Well, amen, I'm going to stand on the Word of God. If that makes me a crazy Christian, then I'm a crazy Christian. Because I'm going to stand on the Word of God. There were a lot of people that thought Jesus was crazy in his day.
Oh, yes.
Amen. Amen. But the end results were the people that believed got the miracle and they saw the glory of God. Is that right?
That's right.
That's right. When a storm comes our way, I start speaking to it. Amen. I start speaking to it. And I command every tree in my yard that you will stand in the name of Jesus. You will stand. You will not fall. You will stand in the name of Jesus. And then I start down the line with the church. Those that attend our fellowship and my parents. And I speak to every tree in the Lord yard. And I command you to stand in the name of Jesus. And they stand. If you doubt not in your heart, he who dwells in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. But it's what's in your heart is the first thing that comes out. I got that when John ministered. That's the secret to abide. You know how you can know if you're abiding? What comes out of your mouth when trouble comes? That's how you know the Word of God is abiding in you. Y'all, this is a teaching to help us. This is a teaching to instruct us and help us. I want to give you a challenge today to those who will take this challenge. I want to challenge you today, and they say the King James is the easiest one to memorize, okay? Those of you who will take this challenge to memorize the 91st Psalm. I will say of the Lord, He is my strength and He is my refuge. I will say of the Lord. So abiding in the Word of God, there are people that love God, and there are things, disasters, there's calamities that come into their life. You know what the difference is? The difference is abiding. There's something deeper with God, and that's abiding. Yes, God loves us, and He shows us His mercy, but God wants us to abide in Him, and His Word abide in us. If His Word abides in us, we will ask what we will, and it shall be done for us. Amen. Oh, I know some of you don't believe me. You're looking at me. I can tell by the look on your face. I challenge you, the 91st Psalm. I challenge you. I will say of the Lord, He is my strength and He is my refuge. Come on, let's practice. Let's practice. I'm going to say it first and then we're going to make it personal. He who dwells in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. So this is how it goes. We say, I dwell in the secret place of the Most High, and I abide under the shadow of the Almighty. Come on, say it with me. I dwell in the secret place of the Most High, and I abide under the shadow of the Almighty, where no foe can withstand me. The miracles of God are for everyone. They're just not for some. Why do some receive them and others do not? Because they haven't been taught how to receive them. This is what this is about. This is being taught how to dwell and live in the safety of God. You know, God is going to protect His people. Yes, He is. I don't fear nuclear war. I don't feel disease and I don't fear pestilence. Why? Because I dwell in the secret place of the Most High under the shadow of the Almighty where no foe can withstand me. No foe. A foe is an enemy of God. Sickness is an enemy of God. Yes, it is. Sickness is not God's will. It's not God's will for anyone, but there are two groups of people on the earth. Those that know God and those that don't know Him. Those that live like the world and those that live for God. Now God will show those who live in the world, like the world, under the world system, He will show them mercy. But God has something even greater for us. God has what's called deliverance for us. What God has greater for us, He wants to keep us from the trouble. He will show us mercy in the time of trouble, but He wants to keep us from the trouble. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. It's true. So this teaching today was to help us, was to instruct us. And I pray with all my heart that you received it, that you understood what God was trying to say here today. God wants to keep you protected. He wants to keep you under His protection. He wants to do that for us, for His people. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. So I don't know how much more time we have. John, do you have anything else to add? You did a great job. I appreciate it. I know you studied a lot. Go ahead, brother.
I have one more example. There was this island where they actually, I guess it was a place where they refueled the big jets. There were two 747s being refueled. They were topped off with fuel. One was getting ready to taxi. The other one was getting ready to land it or something, and it was getting ready to take off. And then, and one had pulled out in front of the other one, and they did not tell this guy to stop. So he was all going down the runway at full speed, and this other 747 was right there in the way. And as they were getting ready to, as the guy who was going down saw what was going to happen, he used God's name in vain. He says, God, you know what the rest of it says. We're all going to die. Well, this one guy, he was standing on the word of God. And when those two planes hit, they both burst into balls of fire. This guy walked right straight down the pathway of that. He saw people all around him melting. And he saw balls of fire hitting his way. And he'd go like this, and he looked around, and it was gone. He finally got up to the top of the airplane was. There was a porthole up there in the top where you could get out. He don't know how he got up there, but he got up there, went across there, went onto the wings, and jumped off the airplane, and got to the hospital. When he got into the hospital, he had pieces of metal in his face. When he woke up the next morning, those pieces of metal were all around his head, but they were not in his body anymore. But he lived while everybody else died, because he stood on the word of God.
Amen. It's testimony after testimony. We would do well to take this word and memorize it, but it's not just memorizing it, it's also putting it in our heart, it's also believing it and trusting in God, that it's God's promise to us. It's about abiding in His word. Amen?
Amen.
Abiding in His word, and let His word abide in you. And one of the ways I can tell, me personally, if I'm abiding in God, is the first thing that comes out of my mouth when trouble comes. That's how I can tell whether Kathy is truly abiding in Christ and abiding in His word. You know, our words are spirit and they are life. You're a spirit being. You are a spirit being. Your words are spirit and they are life. And your words have power. They have power with God. God created the world by the power of His word. And Jesus said, the words I speak to you, they are spirit and they are life. So I pray you'll take that challenge with me to learn the 91st Psalm. Learn and get it inside of you and confess it. Make it your confession. Take one verse a day. Or if you have to do one verse a week, take one verse a week. And when we come back on the next month, I'd like to check and see how far along we are with that and memorizing this. Y'all, this is serious. Okay? This is serious. God wants his people protected. God makes a difference between those who love him and those who do not. But sometimes we get ensnared by the words of our mouth. We have got to train our mouth. We have got to discipline our mouth in the word of God. Amen.
Amen.
Okay. God bless you. It's the truth. I love you.